Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, good afternoon. This is actually Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Bruce Musselman today, and with all the ice and everything and some phone issues that he's having, he was unable to be with us today, but he's doing okay. Don't worry about him. And, well, you pray for him. He always can use your prayers. All of us could use your prayers all the time, so I know he'll appreciate your prayers, but hope you're safe wherever you're at out there. If you're out on the roads, be careful. I came into the studio here today and it was raining. It's supposed to turn to snow later on and icing up on untreated surfaces, so if you have to get out, walk around, be really careful. It's good that Bruce is not out and about today, but we're going to join in here today with a look at some things in the Bible, or maybe I should say what's not in the Bible. And so I thank Bruce for allowing me to sit in. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, sitting in for Bruce today. A lot of times I help him behind the scenes with some things and put some stuff together for his webpage for him. You can find out more about Bruce Musselman and Where is God's Word if you'll go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can link to some past programs there, and you can also find out more about what Bruce is doing, and just some different things going on that he's done in the past, and the resources that Bruce mentions from time to time. You'll find a lot of resources there, and one that he likes to recommend right now. We have Jack McElroy's books, Which Bible Would Jesus Use? He's got some other materials there. You can find that. And also there's a link to, I believe it's One Book Stands Alone that you can, I'm sorry, not One Book Stands Alone. That's a good book too. And there is a link to that. But I was looking for, I thought I had it here just a minute ago, but there's some other things. There's some articles on why Mark 16 verses 9 through 20 belongs in the Bible, why 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, where it says God is manifest in the flesh, is the correct reasoning there, and also a strong defense of the passage in 1 John chapter 5 verse 7, which is one of the strongest presentations of the Godhead, the Trinity as we call it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's in the New Testament in particular, in the Bible in general. And you can find that defense of 1 John 5, 7. And of course, that's the verse that says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." That's taken out of many Bibles. And so you can find that there. Also, you can go to, I believe it's, this is the one I was looking for a moment ago. It's Which Version is the Bible by Floyd Nolan Jones. And you can just, if you can go online, just click on that, go to whereisgodsword.com and just click on the link for, version of the Bible, which version is the Bible, and that'll take you to the audio, or I'm sorry, not the audio, I believe it's a PDF version, and you can read it online or you can download it. I was just trying to scan through here, get an idea how big it is. Counting the index starts on page 273, so you can see that there's quite a lot there. In fact, it goes up to about 218 pages or so before you get into the appendices, and then there's another probably 50 pages or so of those, and then you get into a bibliography and the index. So it's well documented, and just let me give you a couple of the chapter headings here of which version is the Bible. It starts out first chapter, preservation or restoration. Second is biblical comparisons depicting the problem. And then from there it goes to the 1881 revision, the Textus Receptus, the Greek text of Westcott and Hort, how Hort seduced the 1881 committee, that's where it details how Hort invented a history of the biblical text that really wasn't there before. And then there's the Hortian eclectic theory refuted. And I'm going to have to read this book again myself. It's been a while since I read it. The believing frame of reference, and then the conclusion of the matter. And this one that I would recommend, Bruce would recommend this book as well. Which version is the Bible? And like I said, you can read that for free online. Download it for free. You know, everybody's trying to save money any way they can. And so that's a great book there. And there's other ones that are on there as well. But I wanted to mention that for you here today as we get into some things here. Also wanted to mention, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis sitting in for Bruce Musselman today, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I certainly invite you to visit us. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. We meet in the meeting room there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We'd love to have you. Plus, I'm on the air with our program. I'll be on the air tomorrow here, Lord willing, 1:30 till 2 o'clock for Live with Pastor Al, and then Sunday night at 11 o'clock until midnight, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. So again, thanks to Bruce Musselman for allowing me to fill in for him today. I want to share something here today on the program, and a lot of things that we can talk about, and I hope you had a chance to catch the President's State of the Union address and some of the other things that have been going on this past week. Also, the vote to acquit the President, and as somebody pointed out, in our society, under our legal system, somebody is innocent until proven guilty. Some places you're guilty until proven innocent, and I think in the media that's the way you are. But we're innocent until proven guilty. Impeachment charges against the President was an accusation. The Senate looked into it and found him not guilty. That's why they acquitted him. So he is innocent of the charges. So pray for our President, pray for our country, and hopefully we can move on to some better things now. And then, of course, We had, like I said, some tremendous things that were going on in the State of the Union address. I'll probably address some of that stuff in my program tomorrow. But for today, I wanted to focus in on something here. Bruce likes to give you reasons why you should use the King James Version of the Bible, the King James Bible, as opposed to the New English Standard Version or the New International Version or the New American Standard Version, what I meant to say earlier, and the English Standard Version is another one. And those are all popular versions that are out there, but there's problems with them. And with the New International Version, it's been around several variations on it out there, but there's several things that you can see right away that help you to see what the problem is. And you know, there's a lot of things that we can look at. There's a number of things that you can cite, you know, numbers of this and numbers of that and this manuscript and that manuscript. But sometimes seeing something rather simple and easy brings it all home to you. And for the purposes of the program here today, I have, of course, King James Bible sitting here next to me. And if you're watching on our YouTube thing, you can see my King James Bible here. Try to shine it there. You can't really read it. But in addition to that, I have a New International Version of the Bible here. I know Bruce would just love to know that I have the New International Version of the Bible on his program today. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare some passages, okay? And the first passage that we're going to look at, we're going to start in the Gospels here. There's a lot of places that we could go, but I'm going to turn over here to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse number 18. And this is a case where they had tried to cast this devil out of this man, and they were unable to do it. And so they come to Jesus, and the Bible says in verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you." Verse 21, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Okay, now I'm going to read that same passage in the New International Version. So we started with verse number 17, or I'm sorry, verse number 18. I read verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. I'm going to read in the New International Version the same verses, or at least I'm going to attempt to. Matthew chapter 17, and again starting in verse number 18. The Bible says, "Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment." That's verse 18. Verse 19, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?'" Verse 20, "He replied, 'Because ye have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if ye have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.'" And then it ends there. Now, if you have a New International Version of the Bible, let me encourage you to check this out. If you'll notice, there's verse 18, there's verse 19, there's verse 20, but you know what the next verse is? It's not verse 21 like you would think. It's actually verse 22 when they came together in Galilee. He said unto them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." And, of course, that's verse 22 in the King James. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, 'The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men.'" And verse 21 is completely missing from the New International Version of the Bible. Now, if you're just reading like most people read, you would read down verse 17, 18, 19, verse 20, 19, where the disciples asked why they weren't able, why they weren't successful. And then you would read verse 20, where Jesus rebukes them for lack of faith. And then you would immediately go to Jesus telling about being betrayed into the hands of men. And you would miss a very, very important statement that Jesus made that's completely removed from Matthew chapter 17 in the New International Version. And that verse is why they were unsuccessful. It wasn't merely their lack of faith. He said, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." He is saying that they needed something more. Their faith, while it was lacking, he said that they had, it was because of their unbelief. And then he gave the illustration about having faith to remove mountains. But what he pointed out is, in addition to their unbelief, there was this need for prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is an important thing. It can help us spend time building up. Remember the guy that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Sometimes in prayer, we come face to face with the Lord, and as we're praying about what our problem is, we come not only face to face with the Lord, but we come face to face with our lack of faith. And during the time of fasting, of course, we're putting the needs of our body on hold so that we can spend time with God. And we're not going to get too much into all the aspect that the Bible has to say about fasting, but this important statement, that howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, this is a key to success in the Lord's work that is completely removed from the New International Version. It's not just the New International Version that removes it. Some of the other versions do, and that's, of course, because they are themselves based upon not the Textus Receptus, but the ultimately the Westcott-Hort and the corruptions of the scriptures that remove some of these verses. And there's a number of verses. The Good News Bible, for instance, completely omits this. And I wish I had a copy with me of the English Standard Version, because that's an up-and-coming one in a lot of churches today. The Contemporary English Version, I believe, omits this as well. But if you're reading your Bible and you don't have this statement about howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting, well, guess what? You're going into a spiritual battle with only a third of the weapons that Christ has given us. There's the belief, there's faith, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith, but also he told them they needed to add to faith two other things, prayer and fasting. And so you're going in underarmed, underprepared, if you don't have this passage in your Bible. Now, the other thing that makes this so interesting too is that when you read in most Bibles, you are used to the verses going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, to the end of the chapter there. There's 27 verses. But again, I challenge you, if you've got a New International Version, you think there's nothing missing or nothing seriously, anything that's really a problem in it, do me a favor. Count the number of verses you have in your chapter. If you look in the King James Version of the Bible, there's 27 verses. And you say, well, I looked in my New International Version, and it ends on verse 27. Yeah, it sure does. It also starts on verse 1. That's absolutely true. And it has verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then there's no 21. Then it has 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Number 21 is the number is completely gone. Isn't that interesting? You say, well, that's a fluke, isn't it? The number is completely gone. No, they actually, in the New International Version, they do have a footnote there that says some manuscripts have this added, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. But let me ask you a question and be honest. How many people read the footnotes when you're reading a book? You know, a lot of times you're reading a book and there's footnotes, and most times, most people just move on. They don't even pay attention to the footnotes. Now, elsewhere in the New International Version, when they take a verse completely out, like 1 John 5, 7, they rearrange portions of the previous or the following and or the following verse, and they come up with a verse 7. And so you will see a verse 7, 1 John chapter 5, verses, you know, you'll have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but the text of verse 7 is gone. Well, here, the text is gone, and the number is gone. So, oh, that was a fluke. Well, let's look at the very next chapter, the parable of the lost sheep, in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, and let's start here in verse number 10. The Bible says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Verse 12, how think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And then it continues on with the parable there a little bit more, but let me read that corresponding passage in the New International Version, starting at chapter 18, verse 10. Verse 10, see that ye do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Verse 12, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? Now, I didn't misspeak there. I didn't inadvertently miss something there, because if you look in the NIV, there is no verse 11. It's completely gone. They took out verse 11, which I don't know about you, but I think verse 11 that says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost, is kind of an important verse. I mean, why did Jesus come into the world in the first place? Did he come into the world just to set a good example for us? Did he come into the world to show how to sacrifice? What did he come into the world for? Well, the Bible says, if you have a King James Version of the Bible, at least, in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11, it says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost, which was lost. Well, what was lost? We're lost without Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, is one of his titles, along with the Son of God. Son of God points to his divinity, God manifest in the flesh. Son of Man shows about how he became a man and dwelt among us. And Jesus did that. He came here not to set a good example. He came here to save us, to save that which was lost. That's us in our lost condition. Because of our sin, we're lost. We're apart from God. We're that sheep that's wandered astray, and Jesus Christ came in this world to save us. He came into this world so that he might live that perfect life and then go to the cross where he sacrificed himself. He literally took our sins upon us as he suffered and died, and he shed his blood to pay for our sins upon that cross. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death, and the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he came for. He came to save us. So don't you think that's kind of important? Say, well, wait a minute, there's a footnote there. The copy of the NIV that I'm holding here has a little letter C. And so let's look down at the little letter C. And the little letter C says, some manuscripts, meaning some manuscripts have added this, Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Well, again, how many of you, be honest, read the footnotes when you're reading something? Most people zip along. But if we were in church, or if you were listening to me on the radio, and I said, get your Bible out, and I'm going to preach a message on Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they'd be completely lost, wouldn't they? Because they wouldn't have that verse. They'd be opening their Bible, and they see, I see verse 10. I see verse 12. Where's verse 11? Is this a misprint? Well, you know, these are just two that we've looked at here in Matthew 17 and verse 21 and Matthew 18 and verse 11. And I hope that you can see from some of these, just these few things, these are important. These are very important. And I've seen a total of at least 15 verses in the New Testament that are completely missing. I'm not talking about the text like 1 John 5, 7. I'm talking about the text and the number. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. You cannot find that. I give you a dollar if you can find Matthew 17, 21 in your New International Version in the text. I'm not talking about a footnote or something. Matthew 18, verse 11. Matthew 23, verse 14. Mark 7, 7. Mark 9, 20, or 44. Mark 9, 46. Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:34, Acts 24:7, Acts 28:29, Romans 16:24. The text, the number, it's all gone. Why would somebody take these things out of the Bible? Well, I don't think God wants you to know or wants to disguise the fact that the Son of Man has come into the world to save that which is lost. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's important. That's important. God wants us to know that belief, prayer, and fasting will help us in a spiritual battle.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.